Welcome to episode 255 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
There will be some links with some of those details we don't have in the show today. And you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
So that's a new format. We'll talk about it, around it, and then we'll give you links to answer all of the questions.
Well, there's like chemical things going on here.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you know in the Murchison meteorite,
mm-hmm.
we've talked about it before.
Yeah.
They found ribose.
Ribose.
That is the R in RNA.
Hey, okay.
Yeah, it's a sugar, a simple sugar. A monosaccharide.
So it's good they got to the meteorite quick, because otherwise there'd be a bunch of kangaroos licking on it.
Tasty.
Yeah, they keep coming up with new methods of testing it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the researchers who found the ribose mentioned part of the challenge here is it's such a complicated soup of various organic chemicals that it's hard to find any one particular element in there.
Okay. It's so full of crap.
Oh, well, they got some of the bases you get on RNA and DNA are in there.
Mm-hmm.
And amino acids.
Mm-hmm.
And carboxyl groups. And
we talked about this.
Right. Ribose, however, is a sugar. And I'm going to explain what that is. I don't want to do too much chemistry because we already did a lot of that on Monday. Yeah, did you enjoy all that chemistry we had last time?
Yeah.
Because we're totally going to do DNA and RNA this week.
Okay, I mean, chemistry, rah, I hated chemistry.
Well, it's sort of, well, you don't have to remember any of the crap.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm on board. Okay.
It's I'm taking a closer look because I've never looked before. It's also this weird sort of a chicken and the egg thing, since it takes protein to replicate DNA. Or to mm-hmm. make copies of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes DNA to build the proteins to replicate DNA.
Oh, God.
I wanted to cover a couple of things that, like last time, I kept saying ammonia.
Yeah, yeah.
And ammonium.
Uh-huh.
And they're not quite the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Ammonia.
Honest mistake.
Yeah, ammonia is ammonia is NH3.
Okay.
Ammonium is NH4. And it's actually an ion. With a positive charge.
With its own name. Huh.
Yeah. It's done well for itself. And the original Miller-Urey experiment used H2O ammonia, not ammonium.
Okay.
And whatever else they thought was there. Methane. That's right, methane.
Do you know which one is the cleaner?
The cleaner is, no.
Okay. Well, here we are. One of them smelly, I swear.
Right. Also, I want to thank Phil for looking at the diagram and explaining this to me.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, the carboxyl group or carboxylic acid.
Yeah.
There's an X in this word. it's there's four places carbon will make friends. This particular carbon is at the end of a chain.
Yes.
And has made friends twice with one oxygen. So it's double bonded to one oxygen.
Love that oxygen.
And then it's bonded to an OH,
mm-hmm.
which is an oxygen and a hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one is so common that it's got its own name. They call it hydroxyl.
Okay, yeah.
In fact, one of the names for for water is hydrogen hydroxyl.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's name hydrated.
Okay.
So so those are all connected, right? That takes up three of the bond, four, and then it's connected to another carbon, and that's all four bonds. That carbon is connected to an NH2.
Okay.
And that's your amine group, in case you care. Came from ammonia had some way.
Amine, okay.
The peptide group.
Yeah.
Hey. The peptide bond is when the carboxyl of one of these things
mm-hmm.
combines with the NH2 of the other one.
Is that just a...
And that means like the hydroxyl disappears off of one of them, the OH.
Okay.
And a hydrogen disappears from the NH2, leaving just NH.
Okay.
And a molecule of water wanders away.
Oh, hey, yeah.
And then they're stuck together forever. Or until, you know, any number of things stop them hanging out. Like, I don't know, somebody eats them or they dissolve in water or...
Yeah, a thousand things. Get smacked by a random bit of space.
Organic chemicals, the stuff we're made of, mm-hmm. and I mean the chemical definition of that, meaning that it's hydrocarbons with stuff stuck all over.
Good definition.
They are what they call metastable, right? I'm going to point this out. It means that it takes some energy to get it going, but once it goes over a certain level, more energy gets released. Okay. That's most organic compounds, like a paper, for example, right?
Right, right.
Once you get burning, it gives off a lot more heat and flame and smoke and fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Because anytime you, Boy Scouts, trying to start a fire.
And sometimes this can be spectacular, right? This guy was playing with nitric acid and spilled some.
Oops.
Wiped it up with his cotton lab apron.
Okay.
And left the lab apron hanging over the back of the chair towards the stove.
Okay.
To dry.
Oh, dear.
This is how we discovered nitrocellulose, because that exploded.
It sounds similar. So does that have anything to do with nitroglycerin?
We're getting past my actual chemical knowledge here, so.
Okay.
What else did I want to clarify? That might be it. I think that's it.
That I'm a great guy.
That I'm a great guy. I have a dorg report.
Oh, hey.
They can die now.
I'm done with them. They can just fall off a cliff.
No. There's a very selective, very careful, random. Totally random death that happens after very a set number of terms.
Carefully randomized.
I don't really want to run it much because at the moment it means nothing. They can't... there's nothing they can do.
They can die. That's it.
I need to give them the ability to make babies, right? So that at least their genetic line can carry on.
I thought they were making babies.
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
Okay. An outside algorithm was.
Oh, it needs to be part of them.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And then along with death, they will decide that they like to do that sort of thing. There needs to be a sort of a gradient of behavior and so forth. And you know what? None of this makes any sense. Let's come back later in the week and make sense.
All right. Sounds good.
So let's do some chemistry.
I'm excited.
A sugar,
mm-hmm.
Right? You've got one of those hydrocarbons.
Yes, they're good for things.
Yes, and you need three or more carbons in the chain for this to work.
Okay.
Right. But you will have as many oxygens as you have carbons.
Okay.
And twice as many hydrogens as you have carbons.
Okay.
In a simple sugar.
Sounds good.
So that is because on one end, you have a double bond to an oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you have an OH and two hydrogens.
Yes.
And everything in the middle is a C with an OH on one end and a hydrogen on the other.
Okay. So
it's basically a bunch of OHs stuck all over a carbon train. That's a hydroxyl group, oxygen bound to a hydrogen, basically water that gave up a proton.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's the hydroxyl group is on the end of alcohol, too.
Oh, good.
Yes, like ethanol.
Mm-hmm.
That's a carbon chain of two, and just with one of the H's replaced by a hydroxyl.
Cool.
And that's the stuff we drank, and we're happy about that. There's another one called methanol.
Okay.
Has only one carbon, three hydrogens, and the hydroxyl group, right?
And we don't drink this one?
Now, I bring this up because it was used in an experiment.
Uh-oh.
I was reading about these traces of early life they're finding in all these old rocks from space. And I was wondering if anybody ever did the equivalent of the Miller-Urey experiment. For an early solar system instead of an early Earth.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that's out of the way.
Yeah, they took various ice grains.
Okay.
And some of the stuff they had, and there was methanol.
Hey.
And some ammonia. And this time, this wasn't guessing what the early atmosphere might be or what the early things could be. We can see this in space around other young stars.
Okay.
So these are likely substances bathed by ultraviolet light, which even before our sun ignites its fusion,
mm-hmm.
it would have passed through a stage called T. Tauri.
T. Tauri, okay.
Yeah, it's just basically a proto-sun. It hasn't actually turned on yet, but it's still kicking out a lot of UV, so.
Okay.
Yeah, cook the ice.
T-toy.
And you get all these organic precursors.
Okay.
So, I mean, pretty much the mystery of where all this stuff came from seems solved from my end, right? And I am an amateur, but it looks solved to me.
If I got this right, you're saying that when a sun becomes, you know, turns on,
mm-hmm.
between the moment it's a bunch of mass and not turned on, and when it's turned on,
it's already spitting out some ultraviolet light, yeah.
And making building blocks for life in space.
Yes, in space.
Well, I hope.
There's that theory that the heavy bombardment brought a lot of the things that life needed.
Uh-huh.
And I don't really like it, just because it was a very heavy bombardment. Seems like it would destroy a lot of what it was trying to deliver.
Yeah, yeah.
But if this stuff was all over the solar system, and it seems to have been, then way earlier in our we're accruing into a planet process, there could have been soft mergers.
Soft mergers, okay.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying. So, yeah, like, yeah. But, you know, I'm guessing.
As opposed to an explosion or smacking into each other, just like, hey, man, hey, what's up?
Anyway, the ribosugar has 5 carbons in it.
Okay.
And it will combine with these bases like adenine. I have trouble pronouncing these, big surprise. The A.
The A in the molecule.
And then you can stick on a few phosphate groups, 3 of them.
Okay.
And now you've got adenosine triphosphate.
Triphosphate. 3
yes.
of them.
Yeah. Yes, ATP.
Mm. Oh, we that love
is a
that
super important molecule. Yeah. Next time when we get to talking about how energy systems work in the cell, we're going to revisit this little guy. It also will bind from the sugar to a phosphate and to another sugar and form this chain. It's called the phosphate backbone, right?
Okay.
That's what RNA uses.
Phosphate backbone.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And then it's got the 4 bases, which is a...
Is that... What it was? What, the one's the U, or... I don't remember.
No.
I know things.
No, wait, I got this. It's in my notes. Okay, for DNA, it's adenine, guanine...
Okay.
Cytosine...
Okay.
And thymine.
Alrighty.
And adenine connects to thymine... I'm pretty much going to go back to the letters now.
Thank goodness. Yeah, okay.
So. The thymine is replaced by uracil in RNA.
Okay.
And there are some other differences, like it uses a different sugar. Now, let's take ribose. Ribose, good old ribose.
We love it.
All right. And on the second carbon over, like the first one has got the double oxygen bond.
Okay.
The second one over, is you're going to take that hydroxyl group that's there, pull it off, and replace it with a hydrogen.
Okay.
Now this is a deoxy sugar, deoxyribose, which is the D in DNA.
Okay.
And apparently taking off that one hydroxyl group, that OH, makes it a lot more flexible.
Okay.
So, which is important for DNA because you have to bunch up what can be several feet of a molecule into a very tiny space.
Okay. So... Now it's all prepared to do DNA stuff.
It's all prepared. How did this happen? Right? Here we got the DNA, which will split open, and RNA will build on top of that.
Okay.
And then go off and make a protein.
Yes.
So we got a 3-molecule system in order for a cell to be able to replicate itself.
Right.
At least 3. At least 3, yeah. It's, you know, the DNA, RNA, and a bunch of different proteins. Dozens of molecules involved. How is this going to arise, evolutionarily?
Right.
And the thought is there must have been something simpler before. And I've heard several theories. There's the protein first. There's the lipid first.
Yeah.
The one that seems to be popular lately is the RNA world.
RNA first.
RNA, not necessarily first, but the first one to be able to copy itself.
Hey, okay.
And there have been some laboratory experiments that sort of support this. They have been able to get RNA to sort of evolve.
Okay.
Including one that can copy itself, or several different ones that can copy themselves.
Whatever works.
RNA is also the one that actually makes proteins put together, those peptide bonds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the ribosome, it is RNA molecules that are making them.
Right.
You also get RNA that can write itself into DNA, like with retroviruses.
Oh, okay. So, backwards. I got you.
Yeah, so it looks like RNA could do everything that needed to be done to move into the more complicated system. Unless you take a closer look at it.
Okay.
Because, like, you know, like retroviruses, the RNA can't do it by itself. It needs some proteins there to write itself into the as DNA.
Okay.
Same thing with making those peptide bonds. RNA doesn't seem to be able to do it by itself. It seems to need those proteins there.
Okay.
So let's look back. There's another theory that I really like, which is that the proteins and nuclear acids co-evolved.
Ooh, okay. Yes. That
everybody was there the whole time. And if you look at these meteorites and these experiments, it always produces all of the chemicals at once in a mad jumble.
Okay.
So yeah. I really lean towards the co-evolution theory. Because everything was there. And then you can look at something like prions.
Those things.
Mad cow disease.
Ooh.
This is a protein that's folded wrong. That has the unfortunate tendency to refold properly folded protons into a copy of itself. I just said protons. I meant proteins. You know?
Proteins.
Complicated sentence. But yeah, same protein chemically. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But folded differently.
Huh.
If it bumps into a normal, healthy protein, it says, no, you look wrong. Now, this actually happens in the cell without being a pathogen, right?
Okay.
Proteins come out of the ribosome and then bump into another protein and get refolded.
Join us.
But I was thinking about this as far as the co-evolution goes, right? You got this RNA that makes a protein.
Yeah.
That folds a certain way.
Okay.
One day. And then bumps into a differently folded one and gets changed. And maybe that changed one helps with the RNA synthesis. Just that the idea that DNA does nothing without the machinery. If you got a protein that's being refolded by a differently folded one in your cell,
yeah.
Where is that information stored?
No, nowhere.
Yeah. The only reason it works is because one of them is there. And that has to be passed down with the rest of the machinery of the cell, not in the genetic code.
Well, this is crazy.
Yeah. So no answers. But interesting questions and possibilities. We're going to come back and talk about some stuff that we're more certain of. Like, how do cells work at all? What exactly is the battery, so to speak?
Okay.
But we'll come back and talk about that next time. See you then.
Bye.